guests. Today we have Monique Hardin, who is the co-director and attorney of Advocates for Environmental Human Rights, and Jim Raby, who is the president of the Walter L. Cohen Alumni Association. And they're here to talk about a school relocation that's happening on top of an old dump. Who wants to start this story off and fill us in on what's going on?
This is an effort that started by the Alumni Association to prevent the redevelopment plan, RSD's redevelopment plan, or relocation plan, if you will. Initially, RSD planned to relocate Cohen by building a large mega school on the old Booker Washington site. We were opposed to it primarily because there's overwhelming evidence that supports the fact that minority students, poor students, tend to perform better in small schools. And so our effort initially was was opposition to a large school. During our research, we discovered that the original Booker Washington, when it was built in 1940, was built on a dump, sanitation dump, by the name of the Silver City dump. And of course, further investigation revealed that there were some 8 to 10 toxic metals in the soil, lead, mercury, zinc. And so naturally, we refocused from the standpoint of being primarily concerned with Cohen students. We're now concerned with students, mm-hmm. because we're talking about perhaps generations of students being forced to attend schools on contaminated sites. And of course, you see that red flag, because then you tend to go back and research and you say, wait a minute. Why is it every time that a school is built on a contaminated site, that school is built for students of color, low-income folk? And so that's where we are at this point. And I was introduced to Monique, and I've sort of passed the ball on to her, and she's taken it and she's run with it. Mm.
So what have the efforts been thus far? Well, two questions. When is the school supposed to start being built? And what have the efforts been thus far?
We're hoping that it's never built. As a matter of fact, that's our intent. Mm-hmm. Is that there's absolutely no reason for building a school on contaminated site. Quite frankly, RSD has indicated that there is an oversupply of seats for high school students in the city anyway. So the question is, why are you building another school? Number mm-hmm. two, if you're going to build a school, why would you invest millions of dollars to remediate a site when you have a site that is pristine? We're talking now about Cohen. Okay, the site at Cohen is there's no problem there. It could very easily be done. You could build a school on Cohen site while the students are attending school and so forth. And of course, there are those who say to me, well, we can't do that. And my response to that is, well, it's a little bit difficult for me to accept that fact. You did it in 1973. Why can't you do it in 2014? That is to build a school while the students are attending the old school on the site. And mm-hmm. then once the new school is built, then of course you just demolish the old school. Mm-hmm. So there's no problem with doing that. So we have our own reasons why we feel that there is our impression is that this is a land grab. You know, when you compare the sites, the locations of Cohen and the location of Booker Washington, then, and of course, if you also understand and you know the Louisiana politics, then you understand what this is all about. Mm.
So the reason that they gave why they wouldn't build it on the old site was just because of the...
They haven't given any reason.
They haven't
There are no legitimate, no logical reasons that have been offered, or I'm convinced can be offered, to do what it is that they're mm-hmm. proposing to do.
And have there been any plans that have popped up showing what they would use the current Walter Cohen site for?
No one talks about that. No one talks about that.
Monique, to invite you into this conversation since you're here too. Can you, Jim kind of was talking a bit about, just brushed on the environmental racism that is at effect here when we have these, you know, the always building dumps by communities of color and anything basically that's bad for the environment. If it's going to go near any community, it's going to go near a community of color. Can you speak a little bit to the kind of historical implications, maybe about how it's happened here in Louisiana?
Sure. Well, if you look nationally, there's an EPA collection of data that shows 77% of African Americans live in polluted neighborhoods with dangerous levels of toxic air pollution. That's a national fact. Another national fact is that two-thirds of African Americans live near a regulated hazardous waste facility. It could be an incinerator or a disposal facility collecting hazardous waste materials. So that that's the national arena that that's kind of little known and not really discussed a whole lot as much as it should be. But where it comes down in Louisiana is the destruction of five historic African-American communities, communities founded before and right around or soon after the Civil War, that no longer exist because of toxic industrial facilities that that were allowed to operate right next to them, and contaminated areas, contaminated air and water and land, and harmed the health of the residents. And so there's relocation. Some were court-ordered, some came through settlement, some came through negotiations with the companies themselves, but those communities no longer exist along the area that was infamously known as Cancer Alley, along the Mississippi River corridor between Baton Rouge and New Orleans. You look further south in the coast, you see also the displacement of predominantly indigenous peoples, Native American groups and members because of coastal erosion, Cajun communities. So, you know, very important areas that are home to a lot of the birthplace of what makes Louisiana, Louisiana, is disappearing as we speak. Because of oil and gas industrial operations in the Gulf, the creation of canals for pipelines, and the saltwater intrusion that's created, and the marshlands that disappear because of it. So with that kind of a setup, we have laws that don't protect our basic fundamental human rights to health, human right to life, a human right to freedom from racial equality, racial discrimination, and we see how that plays out in terms of what does environmental protection really give us? Not very much. However, the plan by the Louisiana Recovery School District is one that is so beyond reason that we had to file a lawsuit against the Louisiana Department of Environmental Quality for not even following the minimal standards established by law. And these are standards regarding the cleanup of toxic sites. What the Louisiana Recovery School District, or RSD, has done is a minimal identification of toxic contaminants on the site that was where the Booker T. Washington School existed. Much of it is now demolished, as we know. The only thing that we know from the environmental testing contracted by RSD shows us is the presence of serious toxic heavy metals, lead, arsenic, mercury. We know that those are, you know, commonly understood dangerous metals to be around. That's in the soil at the surface level and as far down as 12 feet. There are other toxic heavy metals like barium, chromium, cadmium, all with serious adverse health effects. However, the RSD did not identify for the presence of other toxic chemicals. So the only thing we know is that toxic metals are there. Are there toxic chemicals like pesticides? We know that this, from the work research done by the Walter L. Cohen Alumni Association, that this was a former dump site. Could incinerated materials have been disposed there? So there's a lot that we don't know that the LDEQ had an obligation to require the RSD to do. Layer on top of that, the cleanup plan that the RSD proposes is one that would expose people living in the surrounding neighborhood to toxic pollution from the from what we know is heavy metal contamination. They plan to dig up 3 feet. Why 3 feet? When it goes down 12 feet, we don't know. There's no justification for that. It's something that certainly doesn't comply with environmental laws that we have in the state of Louisiana. But to dig this up without any protections for the surrounding community, there's no consideration of what the inhalation of dust from piled up, excavated, contaminated soil would do and the precautions that are needed to protect against that. None of that's in the RSD report. It also fails to meet basic cleanup standards that say when you have a toxic site in the midst of a residential community, you gotta protect against exposure. And in the RSD plans approved by the DEQ, the residential community is invisible. It's not even considered. And the plan itself is one that is completely insufficient to ensure that the idea of putting a school on that site would ensure the safety of the students who would be relocated from the Cohen School under the RSD plan, as well as the teachers and staff. It's a problem for the site workers. Would they have all of the wherewithal to handle this kind of contamination when the RSD plans does not deal with human exposure like it should in accordance with state law? So that lawsuit is currently pending. In Baton Rouge, where we filed it with the DEQ, we have an oral argument scheduled September 15th, and we're looking forward to moving forward with protecting the rights of people to a healthy, safe environment and making the case that DEQ should also have the same goal in mind.
And so the lawsuit, has that been able to at least stop it in its tracks currently? Or
what we know is that the RSD has put a pause on its schedule for remediation. In fact, one of the reasons why it has to put a pause in it, according to the RSD folks, is that they have no money to carry out the environmental remediation, which speaks volumes in a lot of ways, because it makes one wonder whether or not the completely inadequate and in some instances very erroneous work that was done in assessing the environmental conditions of this site may have been done in a way to try to minimize or sweep under the rug, if you will, the huge hazardous problems of this site, and especially being able to use the site as a school in the future. And so what we have is the RSD looking to FEMA to use Hurricane Katrina dollars to pay for this haphazard, woefully inadequate cleanup plan that fails to require the health and safety protections that are set in law. And so we filed our comments with FEMA saying basically, number one, this contamination occurred before Katrina, so how can Hurricane Katrina dollars be used to clean it up? And number two, that FEMA's obligation in terms of determining whether or not to allow RSD to use Katrina funds also requires ensuring that RSD is complying with federal environmental laws. And so it certainly misses the state environmental legal standards for cleanup and remediation. It also misses the federal environmental law standards for the cleanup of a site like this. So we've brought those comments to FEMA. The comment period closed on April 30th. We're not sure when FEMA is going to make a decision on this, but they have our concerns, reasons why the money should be denied to RSD with this kind of a plan in place.
About maybe 3 years ago, I was hearing about another dump site that a school was going to be built on. And I think it's the Youth Studies Center where that is. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I don't have very much information about the detention center, the so-called youth study center.
Right.
But look what we're talking about. In New Orleans alone, we have within like the grasp of newspaper accounts, recent media coverage, the Booker T. Washington School was originally built on a dump site called the Silver City Dump in the 1940s, okay? So that's one. A few decades later, we have the Moton Elementary School built on top of a toxic site that became a Superfund site and warranted remediation. The school and the community should have never been built there without proper cleanup and remediation. That's two. Then we have the Youth Study Center. Three. Now we have this proposed plan to spend millions and millions and millions of dollars to build another school in the place of the Booker T. Washington School, again, on land that is contaminated. you know, in a way that would harm the residents, harm the school students, the teachers, the staff that would be relocated from the Cohen School, and the site workers. And so, you know, Jim has done some pretty astonishing research looking at nationally how many schools, as he was saying earlier, around the country have been built on toxic dump sites. And those in the student bodies being predominantly African American and Latino across the country. And in here in New Orleans, we have a large, you know, obviously predominantly African American population, and it's in this school would be attended by virtually all of the students would be African American, but it's going on a very dangerous site, and it's unnecessary. Mm-hmm. It's unnecessary.
Yeah, the news program that I was playing is one of the news programs that's talking about kind of the resegregation of schools and how that's how they're more segregated now, a lot of them, than they were before Brown versus Board.
Sure. So you've got the attendance issue, but you can see how you've got these structural and institutional decisions. Just looking at it from the standpoint of before you can get to opening up a book and the academics and the qualifications of the teachers and the size of the classroom and the readiness and preparations for those students in the classroom, look at the land that they're going to be located on. And you can see that, you know, that structural injustice, that structural racism, before you can even go, before the bell rings and school class begins.
Have you been able to look at some of the some studies that have been taken maybe from some of these other schools, either here in Louisiana or around the country, of some of the effects that students and communities around these schools have faced due to the contamination?
Let me suggest to you that we don't need to leave New Orleans. We can stay right here in New Orleans and reference the Moton School, okay? Mm-hmm. In 2005, there was a class action suit filed, and the class actually got a settlement. Only problem with that is no one has been paid, okay? Mm-hmm. Every student who attended Moton School from, I think it was 1986, to 1993 was entitled to, or is entitled to, $2,000 per year for every year that they were there. Okay, but of course, Orleans Parish School Board, the City of New Orleans, Hano, and insurers all claim that there is no money, so no one has been paid, though the settlement has been awarded. So we don't need to go anyplace else. We can stay right here in New Orleans, and we can find all of the ills that need to be found right here in New Orleans.
Because how people that are hearing about this can get involved in fighting against this school being built and future schools being built, future anything of heavy toxicity around communities of color or any communities, period, because this also, I do want to acknowledge that it happens to a lot of poor white communities as well.
Sure. Oh, that's a problem with racism. Yeah. It's about dehumanizing human beings.
Yep.
And so once you begin that process based on race, it trickles over and gets at people based on gender or other ethnicities or backgrounds or nationalities. It becomes, you know, this widening ripple effect. So certainly poor whites are also harmed by environmental injustice as well. In terms of what folks can do about this particular plan by the Recovery School District to land bank the Cohen School and relocate students and teachers to a school that would be built on a toxic site that was the former site for the Booker T. Washington School, there are lots of opportunities for people to be weighing in at the RSD. They have regular quarterly meetings that's posted on their websites, that often include their capital investment in this towards the remediation and rebuilding and relocation of Cohen students to a new school on the Booker T. Washington site. Folks can also weigh in with FEMA. We have a Louisiana Recovery Office down on Insane Court here in Louisiana, here in New Orleans. People can be bringing comment cards or making phone calls or sending emails to the FEMA Louisiana Recovery Office. And then in terms of the being able to put a stop to this, which is really, you know, what's needed in terms of having a rational response to all of this, is calling on our city council to pass an ordinance I mean, one of the members of our city council was the former judge who presided over the Agriculture Street community and Moton School Elementary School class action lawsuit.
Judge Ramsey.
Judge Nadine Ramsey, yes. Who represents District C. But, you know, she would be an excellent champion for an ordinance that says no more schools built on toxic land. Mm-hmm. And take it from the standpoint of the jurisdiction and authority that the city of New Orleans has over land use and land use planning. And so, I see that there could be tremendous movement in terms of making sure that those who are most vulnerable to the effects of toxic exposures, which includes our students, and also that, you know, public funds and public monies dedicated to the education of our students should not be wasted on building schools on toxic sites. So a city ordinance would be a great way to go. Prevent that from happening in the future.
Let me suggest to you that on yesterday, I think there was an article in the paper that suggested that there is a movement over Slidell to defeat the fracking, talking about the fracking issue. And one of the things that's being proposed now is an ordinance being passed that would rezone the area and prevent the fracking. So what Monique is talking about now, about the ordinance, certainly that would certainly help our cause by the city council passing an ordinance saying that no school will be built on contaminated soil. I would suspect that in order to build the school, RSD will be required to get permits to build. I suspect that the city issues the permits. So then if the city does not issue the permits, then we can't build a school. And so I personally emailed Judge Ramsey, the new city council person, and asked for an audience to sit down and discuss this. Unfortunately, I've not heard back from her. But that's certainly something that we would pursue, is that if we could get the city council to enact an ordinance that would somehow establish guidelines for building schools in the city.
And it's something that listeners can also begin supporting right now with calls to their city council members.
Mm-hmm. Right on. That is a way to let people know where you stand.
Yes.
And this is something that's very important because it doesn't just affect, you know, the students that would go to the school or the communities. I mean, there's wind that happens. So these, you know, you might think that you're not in the area, but things travel. So
absolutely. Yeah, sure. I mean, there is a pretty significant radius of effect of the dispersion of toxic pollution by air. Mm-hmm. So if we're thinking about what we know, and again, it's limited knowledge, but we have levels of lead, arsenic, mercury that are well above the standards, risk-based standards established by the DEQ that are present on the Booker T. Washington site. RSD's plan to just dig it up, pile it up and for temporary bases and then ship it out is one that would generate a lot of dust. Mm-hmm. And so that dust becoming airborne can go as far as Kenner.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. And so the more vulnerable you are, if you are a baby, an infant, a pregnant or nursing mother, an elderly person, a person with a chronic illness such as asthma, you are more susceptible and more vulnerable to the toxic effects of that exposure through inhalation than, let's say, someone who's not within any of those categories. So think about how many babies and children and pregnant and nursing women and elderly people and people with asthma and other chronic illnesses that we have in this New Orleans metropolitan area, all being exposed to this stuff that RSD plans to dig up without any of the health and safety requirements established by law.
So do you think that there's a way to, how do we end environmental racism, period, and the ways in which communities of color are targeted by this? Is there?
I think it's really about protecting the human rights that we all have to live in a healthy and safe environment. And you can think about basic, how much of our human rights depend on a healthy environment, your human right to health. Your human right to life, your human right to not be targeted based on your race to poor environmental conditions, your human right to freedom of movement and residence, you know, your human right to culture and the expression of cultural beliefs and preservation are all really based on the environment that you have, the environment where you live. And what we see is that as that environment becomes damaged and degraded, the health of people declines, their ability to continue cultural traditions lessens and minimizes, and ultimately people become displaced either by death or by movement. And that's what's happening throughout this state, and it's happening around this nation. And I'm just so happy that the folks at the Walter L. Cohen Alumni Association have really drawn the line in the sand and said, not this time.
All right. Is there anything else that you want to leave us with? Any way you want to have folks get in contact with you to help out, or...
Sure. They can contact, if they have concerns or thoughts or feedback they want to share, they can feel free to get in touch with me. My name again is Monique Harden, and I'm with Advocates for Environmental Human Rights, and my number is 504-799-3064. They can also reach me by email at mharden@ehumanrights.org.
Jim, any last
words?
Well,
I would just suggest that anyone who would consider assisting our causes, contact politicians, contact activists, council people, your representatives. As you asked the question earlier, what are folks saying? For some reason, there's a veil of secrecy around what's being done. No one seems to want to talk about why we are doing this. Why are we relocating coin students? Why are we land banking coin? What's going to happen to coin? We think we know what's going to happen to it. Okay, and so we're saying no. And I often say, and I'll leave this with you: in 1940, when the Booker Washington School was built, which of course was the history behind that school is that it's the first black school in New Orleans, high school built exclusively for blacks, and was only the second high school in the city, of course McDonald 35 being the first and Booker Washington being the second. But let me hasten to add, we are not, the Walter L. Cohen Alumni Association is not anti-Booker Washington. We are not anti-building a Booker Washington school. We are anti-building a school on a toxic dump. We are anti-relocating coin students to a contaminated site, okay? And so we ask anyone, and I can remember, Monique doesn't remember this, but I can remember we had a governor one time, and he got elected by saying, "Won't you help me?" Okay? So I guess what we would say, help us. We need your help.
All right. Right on. Well, thank you so much for coming and sharing with us.
Thank you.
Free the land. That's all I got to say.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you. And good luck to us all. I hope that we, because I consider myself a part of this as well, hope that we're successful in ending them building this and for the future as well, like not letting this happen again. Where our communities are targeted and forced to live in toxic waste sites. All right. Welcome to Wednesday.